is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews. It's Tuesday, the 26th of January, and we're live on air. I've got a packed show again for you this week. We've got some fantastic guests. In the first part of the show, we're going to be talking to Amy Philippaios of Simply Hair. And then in the second part of the show, we're going to be joined by Pam Locke and Sally Beddo of Locke Associates Group. So a fantastic lineup of guests to hear from. We've got lots of news to tell you about, but I'd love to hear from you. You need to tweet me. That's the best way to get hold of us. Tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag BBunker. That's hashtag BBunker. You can, of course, ring me if you want on 01233-220035, Ashford 01233-220035, or you could email me hello@bizradio.co.uk. But it's far easier to tweet, and it's much more fun, and you could even send me gifts if you want, because we like a gif on this show. I have had a few tweets already, but we need more, so do get tweeting. And I've got some news to read out. But first and foremost, I'd like to say a huge thank you to the show sponsor. The Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with leading employment law firm, Locke Associates Group. They're bringing regular news, information and help with employment, health and well-being, and we're going to hear from them later in the show today. If you want to find out more about the Locke Associates Group, you can go to their website, which is www.lockassociates.co.uk, and that's Locke spelled L-O-C-H. So a huge thank you to them for sponsoring the show. I saw this, and there's been some chat about this on various social media, and I think the BBC did a news item on it as well that didn't go down particularly well. The news that Boohoo are buying Debenhams, the department store, and will take it entirely online. And also, there's a rumour that ASOS is in talks to buy Topshop, Topman and the Miss Selfridge brands. And they also have plans to take them entirely online only. So both groups are doing away with the bricks and mortar stores. We caught up with Dan Whitock, who's the CEO of Daniel High Street, and just asked him for a comment. And he said consumer choice and jobs will be most severely impacted by these changes. However, independent shops will have the opportunity to prosper as consumers look for alternatives to the household names that have been acquired and taken online. He said, I'm predicting that within 5 years we'll see high streets offering a more unique experience. Independent retailers will thrive as they are small enough to adapt quickly to changes, and with the large brands leaving the high street, smaller retailers will be the ones offering consumers a place to shop in person, where they can talk to someone, feel and see the goods that they want to purchase, and know that returns can be processed quickly and easily if needed. And also, of course, shopping is for many a social activity, so once the restrictions are lifted, many people will be looking at that in-person experience to complement their online shopping. I have to say, I agree with that to a large extent, and not just about the high street either. I love online. I don't have any problem with digital. I own a number of digital businesses myself. But increasingly, one of the things that I've become frustrated with is the amount of big corporations that deal entirely with us via technology, and technology that is very difficult to interact with. It's all one way. It's all tell you this, tell you that, tell you this, tell you that. You can't reply. You can't ask a question. You can't go back to it. And half the time, it's just wrong. And I think there's a massive demand for human-to-human communication. So I kind of agree with Daniel to a large extent there. There are going to be opportunities for smaller businesses to fill that gap, to get in and do things on a personal level, face-to-face, with human contact, because at the end of the day, people do like that. So whilst it's bad news on the job front, in terms of the amount of jobs that will be lost on the high street, it is going to create opportunities, albeit that wasn't what the intention was. Interesting move, though, that all of those brands are now disappearing from the high street. And, of course, a lot of it is exacerbated by the pandemic and the lockdown that has just made it almost impossible to keep going with large premises. The costs of keeping premises, you know, paying rents and business rates and all the running costs of premises that aren't open is, you know, just killing businesses left, right and centre. And it's something that the government really need to take account of if they are at all serious about having an economy at the end of this pandemic. But there you go. Talking of high streets and such like, I had a tweet from Canterbury Bid, and they say they're partnering with the Google Digital Garage people on a free live webinar training session entitled Get Your Business Visible on Google. If you want to, it's taking place tomorrow, manana, Wednesday the 27th of January at 11 a.m. And if you want to register for the free event, it's learndigital.withgoogle.com. That's the website. It's learndigital.withgoogle.com. Check out the website, book yourself on the free place, get your business visible on Google. And why not? All right, let's see what we've got coming in on the Twitter. Tracy Ann Barker, it's Business Bunker Show Day. Have a terrific show, guys. Thank you, Tracy Ann. You can follow Tracy Ann on Twitter. Her Twitter handle is Tabba, T-A-B-A, underscore official. T-A-B-A, underscore official. Give Tracy Ann a follow. What else we got? Hammond Accountants, have a great show. Thank you very much. Michael Park Surveyors. Thanks, Paul. We'd love a Business Bunker shout-out. The best online conversation this side of Tuesday, every Tuesday. Thank you very much. That's the lovely folks at Michael Park Surveyors, MPSL, on Twitter. Follow them for all things commercial property in the southeast of England. Check them out. And the Green Business Hub. Do you offer accredited green or sustainable environmental products and services and want to reach more customers? Check out our new Green Business Hub platform. And the website for that is greenbusinesshub.eco. Greenbusinesshub.eco is the website for accredited green or sustainable environmental products or services. Have a look at that. And Jules is tweeting along about having to eat her dinner outside or something. I don't know. She's got the builders in, I think. Don't know what she's building now. No idea what she's building now. Ben Pierce has said, enjoy the show today. Thank you, Ben. We will do that. What else have we got? Well, there's so many tweets here, and most of them are from Jules. But she's going on about sourdough bread for some reason. Oh, it was her show. That was right. Scoff and Quaff earlier was about sourdough bread. Right. Oh, Sam Kelly, the lovely Sam, tweeting goddess on the Twitter. She says, hi, Vanilla Web. We would love a shout out for the Women Inspire IE and our upcoming event, Win 21 Refresh. You can find out about this by going to their website, which is win21refresh.heysummit.com. Let me give you that website again. It's win21refresh.heysummit.com. And find out about Women Inspire IE. Sam, the tweeting goddess, is based in Rosslare over in Wexford in the Republic of Ireland. She's an absolute star as far as social media is concerned and digital marketing. And I have to say, I do miss her. She used to front a television program called Wexford Matters on Sky on a Sunday evening. I used to watch it regularly, lovely little program, and I miss it. I miss it being on air. But do check this out. You can follow Sam on Twitter. Tweeting Goddess is her Twitter handle. Or you can follow the Women's Inspire IE Twitter handle. And it is Women's Inspire IE to find out more about the event and Win 21 Refresh and all the things that are going on. So check it all out. And follow Sam and Women Inspire. Telcare, it's Business Bunker Day today. Join Vanilla Web and Jules Sirkin at 1 p.m. for all things business in Kent. Unfortunately, Jules isn't here live, We have got a bit of a chat with Jules later on in the show, but she's not here live because we're only allowed one person in the studio at the moment, which is a pain, but there you go. The lovely folks at Telcare, the telecom systems provider over there on the Medway City Estate in Rochester. So do check that out. Right, what we got? Awards celebrate the hard work, success and a great PR for your organisation. If you are a winning business, you can enter for free the Maidstone Canterbury or Ashford Business Awards for 2021. So basically, there's three area awards, Maidstone Canterbury and Ashford area. So it isn't just the town, it's a general area around Maidstone, the general area around Canterbury and East Kent, general area around Ashford and South Kent. And the Ashford one extends all the way to Hythe and Folkestone, I do believe. You can nominate yourselves. There's lots of different categories, and all things being equal, there will actually be an awards ceremony dinner at the end of the year, and I will be chairing that awards dinner, and I am so looking forward to it because I normally do dozens of these kind of things a year, and of course I haven't done any for the last year, which has been a real shame. So I'm looking forward to that. But if you're a business in Maidstone, Canterbury or Ashford, enter yourself for one of the categories in one of those awards for 2021. You can find out all the details about it, all the categories, all the ways of entering by going to the website, which is www.businessawardskent.co.uk. That's businessawardskent.co.uk. There is a Business Bunker blog about all the new grants, loans and the new furlough schemes with a website link by borough for the whole of Kent and Medway. So what's happened at the end of December, the government announced a whole raft of new support schemes and new money and grants available. They're now rolling those out through various local authorities. So you need to get in touch with the local authority in which your business is based. So we've produced a whole blog with all the appropriate links that will take you straight to the right place on each of the websites, depending which borough you are on in Kent. So to find out that and to look it all up, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/RS-grants. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/RS-grants. And all of the links for Kent and Medway councils are listed there that take you straight to the relevant page for grants and loan schemes. I got this from HMRC earlier this morning. It's about self-assessment. Which of course should be in by the 31st of January. And HMRC have said, if you're struggling to pay your self-assessment tax on time, the next payment is due on 31st of January, you can set up a payment plan with HMRC, provided that you owe less than £30,000. You need have no other HMRC debts and no other HMRC payment plans set to be able to do this. But you can find out more about it by going to www.tax.service.gov.uk/pay-what-you-owe in instalments. Let me give you that web link again. It's tax.service.gov.uk/pay-what-you-owe in instalments. So basically, if you're struggling to pay your self-assessment tax by the 31st of January, you can set up a plan to pay it by instalments. And I do believe, but you need to check this, don't take my word for it, because I saw it pass my eyes somewhere, but I'm not sure how official it is, that if you don't get your self-assessment in by the 31st of January, they are giving a bit of leeway because people are struggling due to lockdown and being isolated and so on. So they are giving a bit of leeway before they hand out the fines for late payment or late filing. The best thing to do is not to file late, is to get it in by the 31st of January. But you might find that if you're, you know, a day or so late, that it's not the end of the world, as they say. Right, what else have we got? Paul Manville's asked a question. saying you just mentioned the business awards for 2021. If you entered the 2020 awards that did not take place, obviously due to the restrictions, do we need to enter again, or is our entry carried forward? I think, I don't know, because they're not my awards. I only do the chuntering at the ceremony. So you would need to check with them, definitely. But I do believe you have to reapply. I do believe that you have to reapply for 2021. But I'll get a definitive statement on that, and I'll let you know. But I do think you have to apply again. So thanks for raising that. It's a good question. That was Paul Manville of DC Weddings. Thanks for that, Paul. What else have we got here? Charity Buddy have tweeted, "Have a great show, guys. We'll try and catch the show at some point. I'm homeschooling again." Oh, I know. We've heard stories that a lot of parents are sending their kids back to school just to get out of homeschooling. Martin says, "I can see why. My wife's a carer, but we're still doing it." Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, it's draining trying to keep your business afloat, trying to look after your kids 24/7, trying to homeschool, trying to do all kinds of other things. You know, it's... It is incredibly hard for everybody at the moment, and we really do need to see an end plan, if nothing else, you know, to see some light at the end of the tunnel. At the moment, all we get from the government is, you know, more doom and gloom every day, and that's not helping anyone. Right, what else have we got? Tenterton Chamber. They say, "Hi, Paul, looking forward to today's show with you and Jules. How about a shout out for the Tenterton Chamber, who are supporting Tenterted?" How'd you get it? Tenterted. A Tenterton Town Council initiative. So if you want to find out about that, the Tenterted, follow Tenterton Chamber on Twitter, and their Twitter handle is Tent Chamber. All one word, Tent Chamber. Give them a follow. Tenterted. I like it. That was smart. What else have we got? Martin Reeves has been on again and said, have a great show. Thank you, Martin. Right. Do you know what? Oh, I was looking for this one. Athel Bray have been on. "Hi, Paul and Jules. We've donated some old laptops to Top Up to Teach." That's a hashtag. "For pupils who are unable to access IT equipment for homeschooling. Worth having a look at the website if anyone has any old laptops, screens, keyboards or equipment." So the website is topuptoteach.org. Topuptoteach.org. Check it out. Thanks to Athel Bray for bringing that to our attention. Right. We're going to talk to Amy Philippaeus in a minute from Simply Hair. But before that, in the time-honoured format of this show, we're going to play some cheesy tunage. And boy, is this cheesy. Cop this.
If you're going to San Francisco,
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Radio Show the lovely Amy Philippeus. Amy, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. It's lovely to see you. How's the family?
They're good. We're surviving somehow. They're two toddlers in lockdown, so
that must be just horrendous, especially toddlers, because they're everywhere, aren't they? Climbing up and jumping on fridges and things.
Yeah, I mean, we have the added benefit that we're not quite in homeschooling territory yet, so Hattie doesn't go to school until September. Right. But needless to say, like, their attention span is 5 minutes, so it's craft after craft after craft. So, yeah.
And I must describe the background for the listeners, because Amy's got a beautiful decor in the background. So she's got a lovely big fern plant giving her oxygen and that, and then she's got a beautiful brick wall with a neon sign on it. It looks very, very funky.
I should have warned you, Amy. I'm sorry. Jules is a Zoom stalker. she loves people's background in their Zoom pictures.
Oh, well, I'm glad I did it justice.
You made the effort, yeah.
So where are you at the moment, by the way, Amy?
We're in Hursden, but right. I'm working from the office. So Pip and I, who runs his own business, we split our days between home and the office at the moment. So right. He's here in the mornings and I'm here in the afternoons.
Okay.
It's how we're kind of coping with our no childcare situation.
Yeah.
I mean, the childcare situation is so difficult, isn't it, Amy? How are you dealing with that at all, if at all?
So we actually have a nanny who looks after the children 3 days a week. Technically speaking, she is still permitted to work.
Yeah.
But her husband has diabetes, and we didn't feel it was fair to ask her to come to work when she's living with someone who would be considered vulnerable. Mm. So she's furloughed, and we're just juggling the childcare between the two of us. Yeah. Mm. We did it in the first lockdown, so we feel like we can do it this time, but it's harder, definitely challenging. Yeah, it gets harder, and it's harder to keep them entertained. And the last lockdown was the summer, so we could be outdoors.
Yeah.
So it's certainly tricky.
It's particularly hard on children, though, isn't it? Because they can't see friends and they can't they can't play effectively. We need to get out of this as soon as we can.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Well, Amy, thank you for joining us. It's lovely to see you again. I haven't seen you for a long, long time, actually.
No, I know.
It's good to see you, though. Why don't you kick off by telling the listener a bit about you and Simply Hair?
Okay, so I run Simply Hair, which is we're predominantly a hair extension supplier. So we supply human hair extensions to salons, predominantly in the UK, but also internationally. And we're just in the process now of launching our new range, which is us venturing more into salon supplies. So not just hair extensions anymore, but scissors, tint bowls, brushes, salon decor. So really kind of expanding our offering to much wider demographic.
Okay.
So that's,
Okay. Well, there's a lot of things I need to ask you there. I'm in great need of hair extensions myself.
I've just given my beautiful ones away. I had amazing ones for my wedding, Amy, made by my hairdresser at the time. So it was quite a while ago. I can't remember how long I've been married now.
Yeah.
But really beautiful ones. And I thought, I'm never going to wear them again. You know, I'm a certain age where, you know, I'm never going to wear them. And I gave them to my hairdresser. I thought they could perhaps play about, you know, the juniors could play about with them. So but they're beautiful condition, aren't they, these human hair extensions?
They are, yeah, and as long as they're looked after properly, they can last a very long time. And we also have a system where we encourage our customers, and also anyone really who has hair extensions, to send them back to us, because we have an agreement with is that me?
I don't know.
I can't hear anything.
No, you're fine.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what is going on.
No, it's, can you hear us?
Yeah.
We can hear you. You're fine.
Carry on, Amy.
Sorry. So we have a system set up with a company called Matter of Trust, where we send used hair extensions back to them, and they convert them into hair mats, which are used to soak up oil in the oceans.
Right,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so in order to kind of give back a little bit and not see all of that hair end up in landfill. So yeah, that's just part of what we do.
Presumably that hair would biodegrade, wouldn't it? Like skin?
I believe so, yeah. So over time it would.
Not in my sink, it doesn't.
And then when my new husband shaves, it drives me mad. All those little stubbly hairs
I had to put sink blocker down my sink yesterday. All the people in my house with hair, so it's not me that's doing it. I want to talk to you about a number of things there, Amy, because it's interesting. But let's go back to the beginning. When did you launch the business?
So Simply Hair started in 2013.
Right, okay. But you were doing stuff with hair before that as well, weren't you, I think?
Yeah, so from 2011 until 2013, I was a mobile hairdresser. So, right. And I mainly specialised in hair extensions. So right. That's where I kind of got a kind of taste for the industry.
Right.
And once I was kind of covering all of Kent and was too busy to fit any more clients in, but still wanting to grow the business, that's when we decided to become a supplier rather than a fitter, and to kind of deal with a lot of the issues I was experiencing as a consumer in offering a business that kind of ticked all of the boxes that the current suppliers weren't. So that was our kind of main aim.
So what do you see as the difference that you're providing as opposed to the previous ones?
The main difference that we're providing, I think, is that we have a very small to medium business focus. So although we supply hair extensions and we supply all of the tools that people need, we're very focused on keeping their businesses at the forefront of our minds in what we do. So, for example, during the first lockdown, we decided to... Sorry, no, it wasn't the first lockdown. During the November lockdown, I know, I lose track.
Yeah.
We released a free business course which helped small businesses set up their Facebook ads, gave them advice on photography, gave them advice on dealing with customers. So we like to kind of keep our own customers' business at the heart of what we do, rather than focusing it on us all the time.
Sure. Okay. I need to ask you this, human hair extensions. I mean, where do they actually come from? I mean, how does this happen? Do people donate their hair?
Yeah, so a lot of the hair comes from different sources. There are lots of ways in which you can get hair. A lot of the time it's donations. So it'll be donations for religious reasons or donations from... lots of different sources,
right.
But yeah, it predominantly comes from India, China, and then not us, but other suppliers will get hair from Russia, Mongolia, all over the world, really.
Right, okay.
Because Indian hair, when I was travelling in India, their hair is absolutely beautiful, isn't it? And I have to say that when I was there, my hair was the best it's ever been. Mm. And I think it's because there are no chemicals in the water, so you can't drink the water, but it doesn't have all the chlorine in and that. And my hair was really shiny, and I think Asian and Indian hair is beautiful.
It is, it is.
Eat more curry. That's the answer. Okay, so step us through the business. You deal with people that presumably collect the hair, then you are they primarily sourced from overseas-based businesses? Are you importing the hair as well? I'm getting at.
Yeah, so we import all of our products. We import all of our products, and so with the kind of current climate and global situation, it's been very challenging for us to keep on top of our stock and just manage the our cash flow and all of the things that come with a lockdown and the difficulties that all of our industries have faced.
Okay, when you get the hair, is it like just a bale of hair, or you know, how does it work? Talk us. I mean, is it already done? Is it already put into extensions? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's already done. It's already coloured. So when it arrives with us, we have around 30 odd colours now. So it arrives in different methods for different applications. So be that weft, tape, stick, all the different methods that salons will offer. And then they purchase it from us in the specific colours that they need. So they have a colouring, they match up to their clients, then they tell us what they need and we send it out to them. So we don't do any of the actual processing of the hair here. That's all done overseas. And then we buy the product kind of ready to go.
Okay.
So how has Brexit affected you?
Hold on. I've got a little tip here. Don't buy your 9-year-old daughter hair chalk for Christmas and then fall asleep on the sofa.
Did you end up
with blue hair? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
A good look. Amy, I've forgotten what I was asking now. Oh, yeah,
you were asking about Brexit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How has that affected your imports?
It hasn't. We predominantly ship from Asia, our shipments come in from Asia, so the majority of our customers are either UK based or America and Australia, so we don't have a great deal of custom from Europe. So for us it wasn't that wasn't so much of a problem. For us, the biggest problem we faced was the effect that it had on the US dollar, and that hit us quite hard quite quickly. Right. But it's kind of remained stable ever since. So we had to adjust our pricing. We had to adjust all of our forecasting based on the dramatic change in the US dollar. Mm. But since then, fortunately, apart from everything that's happening right now, it hasn't been too difficult for us Brexit-wise.
Yeah.
Good. And how has it been for you with the salons that are closed? Because the beauty industry is really struggling at the moment. A lot of redundancies, sadly. Mm-hmm. But so how is that with salons not open? Who are you selling to?
So this lockdown's different to the previous lockdowns, because the previous lockdowns the whole world was pretty much shut. So we actually closed the business for the majority of the first lockdown. The reason being was that we didn't want to be part of any kind of underground hairdressing. We didn't want to be a source of people kind of going against what the restrictions were. Yeah. This time around it's different, because with the tiered system and now being in lockdown, there's still, you know, many parts of the world, especially America, that are still somewhat up and running. Yeah. So we are shipping more internationally, and we're focusing a lot of our kind of ads and all of our focus is more international focus for the time being. But when we reopened on the 4th of July, in the previous lockdowns, we saw a huge boom where everyone was going back to the hairdressers. So we're cautiously optimistic that the same thing will happen again. But we're also trying to factor in, we had huge stock issues that when that happened last time, because we just weren't ready for the massive spike in custom that we had. So we're being cautiously optimistic that the same thing will happen this time, and preparing ourselves for that. But who knows when that will actually happen, because
absolutely, yeah, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to plan anything when we just don't know. There's no strategic plan from the government that says, even if we could tell, if they said, well, look, once 80% of people are vaccinated, we can open. There isn't even that. They come along and mutter, oh, you know, we vaccinated everyone, but you're still going to stay locked down. You just can't plan.
I was hearing 1 in 10 have got the antibodies, the COVID virus antibodies. What does that mean?
Well, the problem is they're being very circumspect with data, aren't they?
Yeah.
Depending on who you talk to from the government, they're very non-committal about whether people have developed immunity, whether you can catch it again. You know, I mean, Hancock's already had it.
Self-isolating.
He's had the vaccine and he's self-isolating. I mean, get a grip. What's he trying to do? Dominate the whole thing? You know, I mean.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then, you know, what's the end game? There's no end game, is there? Anyway, enough of that. I want to come back to hair, because I'm fascinated by this. I'm fascinated by the whole thing. So your customers that you're shipping to, tell me a bit about the hair extension market itself. I mean, how big is it? I mean, is it something that everybody does, or what's the philosophy behind it?
I think, well, the hair extension market is a huge, huge business. Mm. I think that a lot of people don't realise just how many people really use hair extensions and the reasons why they use them. Mm. For example, we were part of Dancing on Ice for the previous 2 years, unfortunately not this year because they've had to use wigs because of social distancing. Mm. But in television and in those type of productions, hair extensions are a huge part of that. It allows hairdressers hairdressers to prep the hair before their quick turnarounds. So we deal with a lot of that side of things. But also, you know, we live in a society now where nobody really wants to wait for anything. And if you want long hair, you want it tomorrow. You don't want it in 5 years' time. So there is a much more kind of consumable element to hair extension these days, where you will just opt for them when you're feeling like a change, and then you'll take them out. And it's, you know, we live in such a fast-paced world. So
I'm truly fascinated by this, because I'm trying to build pictures in my mind of how you
practically every news presenter and most female presenters of a certain age above 35 will use hair extensions for height on the crown.
I'm trying to understand what it looks like. You know, I'm imagining a packet arrives with a strand of blonde hair in it, and you go, right, there you go, I've got long hair. How does it actually work?
Well, there are so many different methods. So you can have it sewn in, so where you sew in tracks of hair. You have tape methods, where you're sandwiching the hair between two pieces of tape effectively that have hair attached to them. Right. There are so many very clever, discreet ways of having them fitted now. And the misconception that often comes with hair extensions is that you only notice them when you see bad ones. So right. Often people think the industry... Yeah, often people think the industry is quite small, because you see kind of the odd person here and there with some terrible hair extensions. But actually, like Jewel said, the majority of people you watch on telly will have hair extensions in. Yeah. Even when we were doing Dancing on Ice, Jane Torval, she had hair extensions for every episode that she shot when we were part of it. Mm. And, you know, she's not someone you would traditionally think would wear hair extensions, but that's what's so great about them, because it's so easy to typecast who they're suitable for, when actually they're suitable for all ages. So it's
I feel like going and getting mine back from that hairdresser's now.
You should.
It's probably too late. I might get some from you.
I can definitely sort you out with some.
And I'm assuming it's not something you can do yourself. You've got to have someone do it for you.
Some very talented hairdressers can definitely do it for themselves. I've seen it done. I wouldn't have the patience to do it. But yeah, I mean, technically you can, but you're definitely better off having a different set of eyes putting them in, especially around the back.
Professional approach to it, yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, just nail it on your head. Yeah.
So Amy, have you looked into the wig market, or just hair extensions?
We mainly just focus on hair extensions. They're much more kind of versatile in that way, and they're a much more everyday part of life. I think that wigs will definitely grow in that industry will grow, but there's a lot more. It's a lot steeper learning curve of a wig, and you have to have, I think, a certain level of confidence to wear a wig for the first time, and that breaking down that barrier is challenging for a lot of people. So
I'm pretty sure that Joan Collins always wears a wig, and also Dolly, of course. Dolly Parton
does, yeah. That's, mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking of my new husband is Jewish, so the whole the very strict Jews really just have wigs because they shave their head. Not my husband's family, but, you know, the Hasidic Jews do shave their hair and have a little wig that they wear. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the wigs are beautiful, so I've never quite understood why they shave their hair. But
I do think that in, you know, a few years' time, wigs will become much more standard, in the same way that hair extensions are. But I think it's got a little way to go. Yeah, it's not quite where hair extensions are at the moment.
And all the way through this discussion, I've assumed that hair extensions are kind of a girl thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do men have hair extensions?
They definitely do.
Do they?
Yeah. Again, not as common as obviously they are for women, but it's slowly...
John Bon Jovi.
Yeah, it's slowly becoming more popular. Yeah, it definitely is.
Paul Andrews.
Yeah, I'm having some. Yeah. On my eyebrows. So Amy, it's fascinating talking to you about this, and we're kind of coming towards the end of the interview. Where do you see the market going? Where do you see yourself going? You mentioned that you're branching out into salon equipment,
supplies,
mm-hmm. bowls and things like that. How do you see that progressing?
Well, our kind of idea with that, and where we see the business going, is we really want to kind of add an extra an extra range to our to what we're selling, and we really wanted to focus on our customers at the heart of it. So our new range has been designed so that it could fit into the aesthetic of whatever our customer salons are. So for example, we've redesigned foils that you would use for foiling and highlighting hair. So rather than just the plain silver, we've got a really beautiful like botanical theme, we've got a leopard print theme.
Wow.
So that girls and guys who have got a certain aesthetic in their own salons can add that extra kind of layer of a customer experience by adding that in. So that's really where our focus is kind of for the next 12 months, and we'll see where that goes. And all of those products are launching next week. So that's, you know, the timing of it could be better. For sure, but it is what it is.
Absolutely, and if it can make it work now, it can work anytime. So, yeah. Why not?
Maybe exactly. You could also branch out into PPE equipment for salons in their own branded colours.
Yeah, well, we do actually have PPE, but it's all in our own brand at the moment. But yeah, I mean, I think PPE is here to stay for quite a few years. So, yeah, it's certainly an option.
Amy, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much. If people want to find out more about Simply Hair, what's the best way to do that?
The best place is probably to follow us on Instagram. So we're Simply Hair UK, or on our website, simplyhair.co.uk.
Fantastic. Amy, thank you so much. It's lovely to talk to you. We wish you continued success with your business, and we hope your new venture into salon supplies is a fantastic success for you.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Wow, that was Amy Philippeus there from Simply Hair. Fascinating business. It's a business I know absolutely nothing about. So
I could tell.
It was really interesting to hear from Amy.
Well, when I had my hair extensions, they were beautiful. My hairdresser dyed them to my hair colour and put them in. And I went off on my honeymoon. When I got to the aisle, my new husband said to me, instead of saying, "Oh, you look beautiful," he did sort of say that. But then he said, "And your hair's really grown." You know, when I got to the yard. But when I got on honeymoon the next day, I took them out and they were really, really difficult to get out, Paul. So I had to text my hairdresser and said, I'm sitting on my honeymoon trying to rip them out and they're like welded in. And I said to her, "I can't get them out." She said, "Jules, you're not supposed to take them out. There's, you know, they're supposed to be professionally removed in about, you know, a couple of months' time." And I ripped my hair.
There's a joke about that. And they're on the honeymoon, taking your hair off and taking your teeth out and taking your leg off. Yeah.
Well, I was saying to my new husband just recently, you know, because where I live, I've got to be careful, but there's a lot of young girls with very, very spidery eyelashes and things around here, and they sort of dye their hair jet black. There's a certain look at the moment. And I said to Gav, I think, you know, and the Botox lips and things, and we've got lips around here like, you know, real trout pouts. I said to the new husband, there must be some men waking up seeing they've got a completely different person next to them,
you know,
with the hair and the everything. You know, bikini waxes. I mean, don't get me started.
No, let's not even go there. Before we get into Brazilians and stuff.
I have bought myself an epilator, so I'm still pretty trim.
And that's something that goes on your shoulders.
No.
Oh, no, that's epaulettes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, what have you been up to?
Well, since I spoke to you last, mostly walking and making soups. I went out for a walk. Practically every day this week, I've gone out for a walk with my hound and got wet, got soaked. Right. And it's very windy here on the seafront. So I got back yesterday and I hadn't had enough exercise and I felt really gloomy and Eeyore-ish. And it was dark. It was about 4 o'clock. And I thought, I feel grim. And I had to I suppose I owned it really. And I thought, right, I either sit down and slump in front of the telly and it's only 4 o'clock. By 8 o'clock, I'm going to feel like rubbish, you know, or I do something about this slump that I'm having and feeling curmudgeonly because I can't go out. Because normally you just see a friend, wouldn't you? So I made a soup and it was very therapeutic. So I put some music on and I chopped up a couple of carrots and off I went.
What soup did you make?
I did, well, you know, I always have a little bone broth going, bubbling away in my cauldron. So I did, I just make them up. So I had the bone broth ready, which is chicken carcass from our roast. And then I added carrots, onions, garlic, lots of garlic.
Vegetable chicken soup is the answer.
Yeah. But then I had a little bit of chorizo from our friends at, what's it called, in Faversham and Ashford?
McNaid's.
Yeah, McNaid's. You say it so well. Had a little bit of chorizo. So I chopped that up. Gave
Very
it a
nice.
Real kick. Yeah.
Very so, nice.
But
sounds good.
But it was better than the slump, because if I'd have slumped at 4 o'clock, I would have started eating biscuits and, you know, then chocolate. And
yeah.
So I didn't do that till about 8 o'clock, biscuits and chocolate.
Cool. Good.
And what about you? What have you been up to?
I've been freezing to death.
Oh, your boiler?
My boiler packed up again. Yeah. Although, to be fair, it wasn't the boiler this time. It was the electric valve motor.
Oh, well, that makes it all much better, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I was still cold and I still couldn't wash and I'm still smelly, but it
yeah,
wasn't
but luckily
actually
you don't
the boiler
see anyone.
That went this time. It was
so
the valve motor.
Did you actually, because my flat roof is leaking, and I tell you, getting trades now, this is, I'm on week 3 now and it's under guarantee.
Yeah.
And we've had to chase them 3 times, and today he's finally said, oh yeah, it's under guarantee, I'm sorting it. And that's 3 weeks.
Fine.
So if anyone's listening that's out of a job, please, please look at trades, because we need them. We
yeah.
always need electricians and plumbers and,
yeah.
you know, candlestick maker.
Well, I'm lucky, one of my best mates is my plumbing and heating engineer, so I just rang him this morning and said get over here now, and he came
have
over.
You got him on permanent sort of, you know,
yeah.
call speed
yeah.
dial
yeah so bless him, Steve came and sorted me out. He's literally only just left actually, and,
well my builder, you know, I look after a few rental properties for clients, and my builder, I've had to beg him, there's an extractor fan that stopped working during Christmas at the property, and then the couple there have had COVID, so couldn't go there, so I've had to beg him to fit it in, because as you know, if the extractor fan and the bathroom goes, the walls will be black within a couple of months.
Yeah.
And he's going there tonight at 5 o'clock after his day work.
Right.
You know, that's how busy good builders are.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
plumbers.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah.
And of course, things are wearing out because we've all been at home for a year.
cranking the heating up.
Cranking the heating up and using the oven and all that kind of silly nonsense, which means that, you know, we need more people to come and sort us out.
If I'm going to have a moan, I watched the BBC News last night at 6 p.m. and I watched it the night before, so I've watched it 2 nights running, and last night was exactly the same video in the hospital that they'd shown the night before, and it was really awful. It was a nurse, yeah. It was tragic. It was a nurse crying, and they were saying they had no beds, but it was exactly the same video footage that they'd shown the night before. And I said to Gav, because I was watching it on catch up, you know, a little yeah. bit later, I said, am I watching the wrong one? The news was exactly
the same.
Yeah, it's and nothing else.
It's just, yeah. They're just trying to sell you the same story over and over again.
And quite frightening, because they're showing 20-year-olds now with COVID who are on life support with no issues,
yeah,
underlying
yeah.
issues. So, yeah, it is very scary. And I think for people living on their own, watching that kind of news, especially the elderly, very, very tough.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think there must be, I mean, I have actually tweeted you today about it. There must be positive stories. You know, we
yeah,
hear every week on Bunker from businesses that are doing stuff.
Well, one of the most positive things you could do is tell people how many people have recovered from COVID from hospital. And I saw a stat the other day that said 165,000 people have been released from hospital. So they were people that were hospitalized with COVID and have recovered. Now some of them will suffer longer term effects, obviously, but they have been released from hospital and have gone home and are okay. And there's 165,000 of those in the last few months. So, you know, it's not, you know, there's some good stuff as well as all the bad stuff.
Yeah. And there's good stuff going all around the world. You know, there are positive stories and we want to hear them. We want to hear them on Business Bunker. So do tweet us at Vanilla Web, at Jules Serkin, at Business Bunker, if you have a positive story, because there's hundreds. And there was a lady that was 105 that recovered from COVID.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Which was a lovely story.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, it's lovely to catch up with you.
We've had a bit of a rant today, though, haven't we?
We have, yeah. It's a shame we can't do the full studio thing because I'm starting to miss it now. Sitting here on my own.
Well, I've been wearing this shirt, you may have noticed, for the last three Zooms we've done.
Yeah, I was going to say, but I didn't want to embarrass you. Yeah.
But it doesn't smell, I promise.
Has your washing machine broke or what?
No, I've just got so much work. The new husband's jogging and he comes home every morning like plastered in mud. So, you know, I just have to economise on my own washing. I don't smell.
Cool. Listen, stay safe.
Okay.
Enjoy your walking. Don't eat too many kebabs. I'm sure you're going to experiment with some of your sourdough. And we'll see you soon, eh?
Good. I'm going to go and have some soup now, chicken soup.
All right. Take
care.
Good for
the soul. Bye.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. That was Amy Philippaeus we spoke to about her business, Simply Hair. I was fascinated by it. It's something I have no knowledge of at all. I really found it an interesting business and an interesting business model. But coming right back to the start of the show when I was talking about the takeover of a number of high street brands and them going digital, we've had a couple of tweets about that and I just wanted to catch up with those. Tracy Ferguson said, interesting thoughts, read the positive impacts on the indie shops in the high street after more big name brands go online. Yeah, what we were saying earlier on is it could be a positive opportunity for small independent shops to provide that face-to-face human contact that we crave when we're social shopping. And Tracy went on to say, I'm definitely a tactile shopper. Online is good for things like office equipment where you know basically what you're going to get, but I enjoy the whole physical shopping experience, especially for gifts. And I understand that. I'm a bit of a mad shopper on Amazon and things like that. I'm forever buying stuff and getting it delivered the next day. But there are certain things that, as Tracy said, that you just want to go and you want to look at them, you want to feel them, you want to try them on, you want to match them up or whatever. There are certain things that you just don't want to buy online because it's just not the way to do it. And there are also some other things, technical things, for instance, that you could quite easily buy online, but I actually want to talk to someone. I want to ask some questions. I want to know, you know, what their thoughts and feelings are on each of the different products. So there's definitely room for independent businesses to offer niche and boutique type services to shoppers, because shopping is still a social activity, and you've only got to go around somewhere like Bluewater or Westcross or any of the big shopping malls to see that people treat it as a form of entertainment, you know, even if they're just window shopping. Diamond Circle Weddings tweeted earlier, listening live for a burst of positivity on this Tuesday lunchtime on the Business Bunker Show. Well, well, thank you for that. That's Paul and Polly at Diamond Circle Weddings. Yeah, we do try to be positive here. It gets quite difficult in the face of the onslaught of all the negative news that everybody throws at everything. But we're trying to find you positive stories. Alex Waterson of F Keys has tweeted, just 1 week to get booked onto the ADM sponsored Microsoft Excel training sessions delivered by myself, Alex Waterton. If you want to find out more or book yourself on, if you go to ADM adm-computing, adm-computing.co.uk/events. You can find out about the Microsoft Excel training sessions delivered by the fantastic Mr. Alex Waterton. And he is fantastic. He's a highly accredited Microsoft trainer, and he's brilliant. He really knows his stuff inside out. So if that's something that you need, get yourself onto that, onto one of those programs. That's adm-computing.co.uk/events to check it out. And what else have we got? I'm trying to catch up on the tweets. Sorry, there's loads of tweets that aren't relevant to what we're doing, so we'll come back to those in a minute. The Lower Thames Crossing have launched an SME directory. We're pleased to let you know that the Highways England have launched an SME directory where small businesses can register their interest in becoming part of the supply chain for this major project. That's the new Lower Thames Crossing. You can find out more, and you can register your business to become a supplier to that project by going to highwaysengland.co.uk/our-work/Lower Thames Crossing/work-with-us. Let me give you that again. highwaysengland.co.uk/our-work/Lower Thames Crossing/work-with-us. I'm sure if you go to highwaysengland.co.uk, you can find your way to it on the website. Also, there's a diversity, inclusion and occupational health webinar being provided by Public Health England and the Society of Occupational Medicine. And they've come together for this webinar on how to refresh your approach to workplace diversity and inclusion post-2020. And it's going to be held on January the 28th at 2:30 p.m. What's that? Thursday. Thursday at 2:30 p.m. Is this webinar. If you want to find out about diversity, inclusion and occupational health, a fresh approach, go to eventbrite.co.uk/SOMPHE. Society of Occupational Medicine, Public Health England, SOMPHE2. So eventbrite.co.uk/SOMPHE-2 to find out and register your place on that webinar, which sounds interesting. Okay, let me just try and catch up before we're shortly due to go to the newsroom. But before we do, I just want to catch up where we are with tweets. Phil Wilson has tweeted in. You're supposed to be working, Phil. Phil's tweeted in, and Fire Station Brasserie over there in Chatham have tweeted, and they're all just saying hello, so thank you for that, and you know, more than happy for you to just tweet and say hello. That's good stuff. What else have we got? Rosemary Williams, business coach and mentor, has also tweeted in. So lots of little tweets coming in, but I think it's probably now time for us to go and join the Channel Radio newsroom.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Channel Radio News Update.